Amen.
Yes, Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
Great is the Lord. And greatly to be praised. Amen. Amen. He is worthy of all our praise.
Yes, thank you, Jesus. Yes, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
Amen. Amen. Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. Amen.
Thank you, Jesus.
We give God praise for everything. Letting us be here for waking us up this morning. Amen. And for each and every one of you. Amen. We hope you are continuing in the spirit, the true spirit of the season. And not being caught up in what the world has done with the holiday.
All right.
Amen. That's true. We just thank God for letting us be here to celebrate the birth of His Son.
Yes, Lord.
Amen. Which is the true reason for the season.
Yes,
amen.
Right.
Amen.
Yes, Lord.
And we just thank God. We're going to ask you to take a look today for our message at the book of Job in the Old Testament. You probably say that's an offhand place to go for a message for the holidays, but I'm going to ask you to look there. If you are here and you do not have a copy of our printout, we have that available. If you'd like to raise a hand, somebody can accommodate you with a copy of it. Amen. Amen. So we thank God and we just give Him praise for every good thing that He does. He continues to bless.
Yes, He does.
At all times, He has been a blessing in all seasons. I thank Him for all that He brought me through in life.
Amen.
We always have good reason to give Him praise because He is always a blessing. Amen. And you know that if you're here today and whatever you've been through, you know it was the Lord. If it had not been for the Lord on your side, amen.
Thank you, Lord.
You might not be able to give Him the praise that you're giving Him this morning. Amen. And somebody say He bought me from a mighty long way. I say He bought me all the way. Amen. Amen. He established your goings forth from days of old. Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Just thank Him for all that He does.
He's worthy.
Yes, He is. Amen. So we have a kind of a different thing the Lord put in my heart to preach today, and something that we want to share that we believe will bless you even further for the holidays. So I'm going to ask you to take a look, and we're going to have a reading from the Old Covenant or the Old Testament from the book of Job. And also in the New Testament, which we have heard this text a few times here, and it's excellent every time I hear it. I can't ever hear it enough. And if you're like me, they were saying this morning in Sunday school that the word gets gooder and gooder, if you don't mind my bad English. Amen. 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 But we just thank God. So we're going to be reading, having a New Testament reading from the Gospel of St. Luke in the second chapter. Amen. So let us have a stand, take a stand for the hearing of God's holy word.
Amen.
And I'm going to ask our deacons to conduct the reading this morning.
Amen.
Job 14, 1 through 4. And Luke 2, 1 through 12.
Amen.
Man that is born of a woman is of a few days and full of trouble. He cometh forth like a flower and is cut down. He fleeth also as a shadow, and continueth not. And dost thou open thine eyes upon such an one, that bringest me into judgment with thee? Who can bring a clean thing out of an unclean? Not one.
Amen. Amen. That's Job 1, 14, 1 through 4. And may God bless His blessed and holy word. And now for Luke chapter 2, verses 1 to 12.
And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was the governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, every one into his own city.
Yes.
And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, mm-hmm. because he was one of the house of lineage of David. Mm-hmm. To be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child.
Yes.
And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. Mm-hmm. And she brought forth her firstborn son, mm-hmm. and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. Mm-hmm. And there were in the same company shepherds abiding in the field, mm-hmm. keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them.
Yes.
And they were so afraid.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And the angel said unto them, fear not. For behold, I bring good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior,
my Lord,
which is Christ the Lord.
Yes.
And this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger.
Amen. 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 May God bless the reading and the hearing of his holy word.
Yes.
You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. And I would like to use a topic today of Christmas, the human side of salvation.
All right.
Amen. Christmas, the human side of salvation.
Right.
Amen. We'll talk a little bit more about that as God leads. Let us have a word of prayer. Mm-hmm. Eternal God, we praise you. We bless you. We exalt your name today, Father.
Yes.
For you are excellent in all the heavens and in all the earth. There's none like thee. And Father, so we are here this morning just to give you praise, Lord. Because you are worthy to be praised. The heavens and the earth are the work of your hands, O God. And we just thank you for being awesome all by yourself. Father, we thank you for your providence that rules in the earth and the heavens, O God. We thank you for the grace and mercy that you have shown to everyone here in this room, O God. We bless you and thank you for deliverance, O God, and all those things that you have provided. We thank you for opening up our blinded eyes, O God, that we might see the glory of Christ. And Father, this morning we pray that you bless our minds with understanding, that we might peel back the veneer of some of the things that go on Christmas and take a deep gaze into what you are doing, Lord, in the world, that it might be a continual blessing from this moment forward. We bless you today, God. We thank you. We give you praise. We pray for more understanding, Father, that you would bless us to go deeper into the understanding of who Christ is and what is the real meaning of this season that we call Christmas, oh God. So we ask today, Father, show us the human side of salvation as we go into your word, and we ask this in the righteous name of your Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. And it is in his name that we pray. Amen.
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 We just want to mention that this is kind of the time we highlight what goes on at this particular season of the year. I've said so many times, most of you know, we celebrate Christmas all year.
Yes.
The coming of Christ is the most important event that has happened in the history of mankind.
Yes.
Amen. Even including the creation.
That's right.
Amen. The first advent of Christ. And that's the reason why the world is configured around the Lord Jesus Christ.
That's right.
And no one else. We always talk about that. We boast on him because God's providence and sovereignty put Jesus in the middle of everything. And the date itself is based on his coming. So that's a very difficult one for people to try to sweep under the carpet.
That's right.
And it wouldn't be that way had God not been the one who did that, who placed him in the middle of time.
Yes.
And so we celebrate him all the time, but we just want to take a deeper look today at the human side of salvation.
Yes.
We all understand and accept the divinity of God and how he rules and reigns in his creation over everything.
Yes.
But sometimes, and this is the very stumbling point of most people in the world today who do not acknowledge or accept or understand Christ and what Christmas is really about, is that they stumble over the human side of salvation. And we're going to talk about that a little bit today, and we hope to give you a little more understanding in that regard.
Yes.
So looking at this Old Testament text, you might say, well, where'd you pull that one out? That's not a Christmas text, Pastor. And the fact is, yes it is, and I'm going to help you understand the reason why God put me here in Job 14. We normally hear this at funerals. People read it at a funeral. They'll read, "Oh, man born of a woman is of a few days and full of trouble." You know, and they bring in a sad note on it, and it's really true nonetheless. Man born of a woman is of a few days and is full of trouble. That's the truth. Yeah, he cometh forth like a flower and is cut down. He fleeth also as a shadow and continueth not. So that's the whole negative side of human life. And he says, "Dost thou open thine eyes upon such a one to bringest me into judgment with thee?" You know, looking at the judgment side on the human side, and how the life of span of people is very brief on the earth.
Yes.
And then Job asks a profound question here in chapter 14, verse 4. Who can bring a clean thing out of an unclean? Not one. In other words, we're hopeless. All we are is a bunch of sinners, and we beget more sinners and more sinners, and nobody can bring anybody clean out of an unclean. He says, not one. There is no one who can do that. So we're in a perpetual problem that spins out of control and ends in death and separation. So it's very bleak. And remember all that Job went through in his trial as God subjected him to a satanic attack. God actually summoned Satan. When Satan and the sons of God were going in and out, it says in Job 14, they came among God. There they were gathered together, and God said to Satan, "Have you considered my servant Job?"
Yes.
And so what God was doing was he was putting Job to the test. He allowed Satan to put Job to the test. And so we'll talk about that just a little, and I'll show you how that connects with our subject today, Christmas, the human side of salvation.
Yes.
The salvation that we enjoy who are saved, those of us who are saved, has two major dimensions, and there is a divine side of it. In other words, that's on God's side, and nobody has a lot of problem with that most of the time.
Amen.
But the human side is where people have a problem, and there is a human side, just as there was with the creation of mankind. Now, we talk about this all the time. The Bible tells us that in Genesis 1:26, speaking among the Godhead, God said, "Let us make man after our image and in our likeness." And that's a spiritual side of man being constructed in the image of God and the likeness of God.
Amen.
The Bible says no man has seen God at any time. You see, so there is that invisible dimension of the divinity of God himself.
Yes.
But God said when he was making man in creation, "Let us make man in our image," after our likeness.
Amen.
And then it says that God formed man from the dust of the earth. Now that's the physical side or the human side. God was going to give it a vessel to dwell in, that he had created in his own image and his own likeness. Then it says, and he breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. So now there was a connection with the divine and the natural right there in the creation. And so man now lived in a physical body.
Yes.
And that would be the human side of creation, if you want to talk about it that way.
Right.
There was a spiritual creation that God spoke, and man became a living soul when God breathed into the body that he formed to become a vessel that he would inhabit, you see.
Yes.
And so man was designed to inhabit the very nature in the presence of God.
Amen.
You see? Amen. And so we shouldn't be surprised. We don't trip on it on that end. But when we come around to the other end, when after we know that Adam fell into sin and caused sin to be rippling and perpetuated all the way down from the first transgression of Adam clear on up to this very second, that what Job says is absolutely true. Who can bring a clean thing out of an unclean? How can you fix a problem like that? Not one. He said, I don't see any possible way it could be done. So he had a bleak outlook on it, but God had another solution. God had a way to fix it that he had already prepared in eternity, even before he created Adam. And so we have to look at this, and this is what we want you to see, that there is a human side to our salvation. And this is what we talk about a lot this time of year when we come to this Christmas season. And as I said, the church, we enjoy talking about it all the time. Amen. There's never a time when I don't think about the humanity of Christ and how beautiful that is. But that's always a stumbling block for people who do not understand the human side of salvation. So ever since our father Adam fell into sin willfully, the stain of sin was so completely embedded into the very fabric of humanity that Job asked that profound question, who can bring a clean thing out of an unclean? And then he answered, not one. There isn't anyone. Had a bleak outlook on it, indicating that all people are born into sin and all have a need to be saved. But Job also understood redemption. He said later on, I know it in my redemption. Redeemer liveth.
That's right.
See, so he had a knowledge of how God would bring people out. He knew that if you trust in God and you walk with God by faith, that you will be saved. He understood that. He knew that whatever I'm going through, I just need to hold on by faith. He knew that the Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away, but blessed be the name of the Lord. All these things he said, and he took a stand for faith even against all the satanic attacks that he underwent.
Amen.
And so what we see here when we see Messiah being born, which is what Dr. Luke tells us about, he's going to give an answer here to this profound question. It says here in Luke, and I love this about the New Testament period, you can always connect what the Bible says to all the history that you can trace that hasn't been tainted, and you will find out it is historically accurate.
Yes, it is.
And this is the reason why such texts as Luke 2 are written the way they are. Dr. Luke, who is the only Gentile writer in the New Testament, who is also the author of the book of Acts, the entire book of Acts, and the Gospel of St. Luke, he writes this, and he is kind of taking the role of a historian here. He's writing down accurate history of what happened pertaining to the birth of Messiah. In fact, in his prologue, he says that he makes it very clear what he was doing there as he wrote this text that we have in front of us here.
Yes.
And so Luke goes and matches up the time with those who were in political power at the time. It says, it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. Now, if you know history, you can check your history and you will find that these days are very well documented in many places, not just the Bible, but what the report that the Bible gives is exactly accurate to the report that you'll find in any true history book that actually writes the truth about what happened.
Amen.
Basically. And so Luke is profound in his writing. He says this was a decree that went out from Caesar Augustus. Lets us know it was in the Roman Empire, the time of the Roman Empire where the Romans were in charge.
Yes.
That all the world should be taxed. They were over the whole world. They had dominion over all the known world. You see that?
Yes.
And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. We still have issues in Syria right now today. So the lands that we see here in the Bible are still there even today to testify to the veracity of what the scripture says.
Amen.
And all went to be taxed. It says everyone into his own city. Now people have asked what's up with that? Well, it's just like it is now. If you were born in Georgia, the record of your birth is in Georgia. It's in the records in Georgia. If you were born in Chicago, you have to write Chicago to find out where is the record of my birth. If you're born in St. Louis, all the records are kept in the place where people were born.
Yes.
That's been going on all the time, you
Amen.
See?
Amen.
So wherever you were born, that's the place where they keep the record of your birth.
Right.
And basically vital statistics, we would call it. And so this was the same even at this time, you see here, as you look at this text.
Amen.
So that's why everyone went into his own city, as it says there in verse number 3. And Joseph, now we move into the characters of the Bible story about the gospel of Christ. And Joseph also went up from Galilee. We know he was in Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth.
Yes.
Into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and the lineage of David.
Yes.
Now, Bethlehem, we know, means the house of bread.
House of bread. That's right.
And this is the place where the prophet Micah had prophesied that Jesus, the Messiah, would be born.
Amen.
Micah chapter 5, verse 2 told us it would be Bethlehem Ephratah, which was also called the city of David and still is even to this day.
Uh-huh.
And it says here, because he was of the house and the lineage of David. In other words, Joseph had royal blood. He was of the royal bloodline of King David, who presided over the Jews for a long time in what is known as the United Kingdom of the Jews. It was King David and also King Solomon that ruled with all the tribes of Israel under their dominion, with no brokenness in the kingdom, as it came to be later on in the history of Israel.
Yes.
And so it says here, moving on to verse 5, they were going there to be taxed, with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. Now that's an enigma, that whole verse there. This is Joseph with his espoused wife. In other words, they were engaged. They were not yet married, but she was great with child. And so now she is on the road, traveling on their way to the city of David, which was the birthplace of King David and also would be the birthplace of Messiah, therefore, as it had been spoken by the prophet. And this gave Joseph a reason to take Mary, who was great with child, away from the danger that she would face being pregnant out of wedlock.
That's right. Right.
Although we know the story tells us she was with child of the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
And so Joseph had now been good with that. God had convinced him in a dream that the Spirit of the Most High God had caused this. And so Joseph was now on the program in motion as God set up all the events in history, had the pagan kings and all of them call for a census right at that time to give him a reason to leave and to cover this birth, and for also for Messiah to be born in the place he was supposed to be.
Amen.
To fulfill what had been written in the scriptures. All of that. God is moving everything.
Yes.
Now what does that mean for me and you? I just want to take a footnote here. Whatever the government is doing, don't you worry about it.
All right.
I might want to break into Stevie Wonder right about here. Don't you worry about a thing, because you don't have anything to worry about. God is the one who is in charge of all of this. He moves the king around like a pawn on a chessboard. And they think they got all kinds of power to do stuff to interrupt what you're doing in your life. But you know what? God is moving the pieces. So you don't have to worry about what is the government doing, what is the police doing, what are the ALCU, ACLU, all these different people who rise up with hogwash. They're under the dominion of the Most High God. And he can move them any way he wants at any time. And he will be moving them in order to work all things together for your good.
That's right.
And for his glory.
Yes.
Because the Bible says, for we know that he works all things together for good.
All
to them who love him and to them who are the called according to his purpose.
Yes.
So never let that worry you. When you hear stuff going on, oh, we know this is ungodly. The government is passing ungodly laws. They're trying to legalize stuff that we know is damnable, that's going to draw the wrath of God.
Right. Yes.
Don't worry.
Don't you worry about it. Go right on into your song. Don't be worried, because God has got this. He's got your back. So you can trust him. As long as you trust him, you don't have to worry about a thing. And so we see it here in this story. I just had to mention it because it just jumps out of the page when you read all that drama. You're talking about drama and story writing. This is life. Real life. And it went down exactly the way God wanted it to go down. Same thing will be true of you. If you belong to the Most High God, you can trust him by faith, and he'll carry you through, just like Job.
Yes, he will.
Job is a good witness even here that we have before us today.
Yes.
Now notice this as the story goes on, the plot thickens as we move into verse 6. It says, and now they're going to be taxed. Verse 6, so it was that while they were there in Bethlehem, that the days were accomplished that she should be delivered.
Uh-huh.
See, took a while to travel from Nazareth up to Bethlehem.
Yes.
And not only that, but traveling with a pregnant woman, I don't think they were moving at 100 miles an hour.
All right.
You know, and so basically it took a long time, and it says in verse 7, Luke 2 and 7, and she brought forth her firstborn son. Do you notice how the Holy Spirit makes sure you don't think any kind of way that Joseph had anything to do with the birth of this child? And she, speaking of Mary, who was great with child, that was about to be delivered, brought forth her firstborn son, which is exactly what God promised, right? He said, behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. We looked at that in a previous lesson that we had a couple weeks ago. Now notice this, she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes. See that? That's him, let you know the birth of the child was a male child, and laid him in a manger. A manger is a feeding trough, which they used to feed animals. It was like a wooden box. You throw the food in there, and the oxes and the sheep, they go and they eat from out of the trough.
Right.
So they had a spare one, not a cradle like we always see, just an old feeding trough out in the barn, because there was no room for them in the inn.
No.
See that?
Right.
So the inns filled up. That was common because everybody came back to the city of their birth. Just like if there's a convention in town, you can't get a hotel room anywhere.
That's right.
You see? And so there was no malice in that. That's just the way the cookie crumbled. He was moving slow when he got there with his wife, great with child. Everybody had already booked ahead of him.
Yes.
They didn't have a Trivago and all these kind of things like we like to do. You see, so you had, if you didn't get there in time, you lose out. That's the way that worked back in those days. And so notice what it is here as we move on to verse 8. And there were, it says, in the same country, shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. Now here it is, common shepherds. The first announcement was not to the folks up in the palace.
That's right.
It wasn't to the lofty and the intelligentsia and all the higher upper crust. He went to some of the lowest citizens in town.
That's right.
And by angels, and announced that the Messiah is born. And you'll notice the annunciation here as we read on. And he says, the angel said unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring to you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. Now he tells them where he is being born in the city of David. Everybody knew where that was.
Yes.
They know it even today.
Amen.
If you check the news today, people are there in Bethlehem right now.
Mm-hmm. Amen. Amen.
Pilgrims going there to be in the birthplace where Christ was born.
Yes.
Amen. And so we know this is history. It's not only theology, but it's also history.
Yes, it is.
And history is his story.
Amen.
It's the story that God is writing.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes.
He has already written it on the human fabric, and it cannot be altered, and it will not fail.
My Lord.
Now notice this as we look at this last verse. And this shall be a sign unto you.
Yes.
And that ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger, exactly as the story has been told. So what we want you to see is that when God issued the very first commandment in the Garden of Eden, this will take us back to Genesis chapter 2, verse 17.
Yes.
He told Adam, he gave one commandment to Adam while he was alone in the Garden of Eden.
Mm-hmm.
And God said, "It is." Right after that, he said, it is not good that the man should be alone.
Yes.
Law was an antagonist against man. Did you know that?
Yep.
Because if God gave one law and Adam couldn't keep it, and we've said this, what happens if he gives you 10?
Right.
See, 10 is going to be 10 times easier for you to fail.
That's it.
Because if we don't keep the whole law, as we mentioned in our last week's lesson, James 2:10 says, he who breaks the law in one point is guilty of the whole law.
Right.
So all it takes is one transgression. So we can see that it would be impossible for any man. That's what Job's frustration was as he went through his changes. Is how can anybody ever fix this? It seems impossible. But notice this now, looking at Genesis again, when God said it's not good that the man should be alone, Genesis 2:18, the true answer to the question, who can bring a clean thing out of an unclean, really it's not not one man, but God. Only God can do that. Because when God had made Eve, the mother of all living, as she is called in Genesis 3:20, he made a pathway through which his promise of salvation could be manifested. It could become manifested when the fullness of time was come, as Paul tells us in Galatians chapter 4, verse 4, that his only begotten son, Jesus, who is salvation, could become manifested into the world, and he would be clean coming out of an unclean woman. Now how can that happen? The reason is because in the womb there is a separation between the child and the mother.
Yes.
The child is occupying the womb, but he's like a foreigner. He's an alien to the mother.
Mm-hmm.
The mother does not contribute to the bloodstream of the child.
Right.
Not even today. None of us bore a contribution of blood from our mother. This doesn't happen. That's because God designed woman in that way, that in the womb she carries the child. The child develops his own bloodstream, his own blood type. And you know where it comes from? It comes from his father. That's the reason why DNA tests will tell you who is the father. That's why they do them today. But see, God already knew that when he made Eve. And he was making a way then where he could come out of an unclean woman when the fullness of time was come and be born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, with no sin, with no sin at all. The contamination of Adam's sin would not be on his son. So who can bring a clean thing out of an unclean? God. Only God. He's the only one who can do that. And he prepared that at the beginning, even before. Notice this, he prepared Eve before any sin was in the world. So that's why you wonder, how can the Bible say it's not good that man should be alone? How can anything not be good? And there isn't any sin yet till you get to chapter 3. That's because God was preparing a clean entrance into the world where he could become flesh without being contaminated with sin. You see that? And so he came forth out of his mother Mary without any contamination from any man whatsoever, because she was with child of the Holy Spirit. The Bible says, now, and I won't take you, I guess I will take you, I'm going to have to do this. I got to take you to the book of Acts. Go open your Bible, if you would, to the book of Acts. And we want you to see one verse here. This verse will try to set this straight for you. Acts chapter 20. You'll notice Paul speaking here to the Ephesian elders. Notice in verse, let's look at verse 26. This is the Apostle Paul to the Ephesian elders, Acts 20 and 26.
All right.
Wherefore I take you to record this day that I am pure from the blood of all men. For I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. Now notice verse 28 very carefully. Take heed therefore unto yourselves and unto all the flock over which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers to feed the church of God which he hath purchased with what?
His own blood.
His own blood. See that? So when Mary was with child of the Holy Spirit, the blood that was in Jesus Christ, God is the one here, it says.
Yeah.
That he purchased with his own blood. So what blood was in the veins of the Lord Jesus Christ? God. Now can he do that? Yes. You know what? He made all the blood and everybody else.
Amen.
It's here right now, no matter who you are. He made your body, your heart, your whole vascular system, your muscles, your bones, your teeth, your scalp, your skin. He made you entirely.
Yeah.
We're fearfully and wonderfully made. Why do we think it's a problem for him to beget a child in a virgin's womb? Especially when he had prepared the way to do it already. And he did it because he knew what would happen. And Satan didn't trick anybody. He didn't trick God. He tricked Eve, but he didn't trick God. But God had already prepared Eve to be able to bear the Messiah with no stain of sin. You see that? And not only just Eve, but every woman that's ever been born. That's why I say one, the woman was the secret weapon that God made against the devil. You know, the men are, we just perpetuate sinners. That's all we do. You know, but we can't do it without the help of a woman. But it was because of the design of the woman that God was able to bring forth his own son into the world without sin, without a spot or blemish. So to answer, who can bring something clean out of an unclean?
Only God.
Amen. And so this is the human side, that is what I like to call it, of salvation. God had prepared it in the Garden of Eden so that we could all rejoice about it. These are the kind of things I rejoice about, especially at Christmas time. And so we see there that God brought his own son out of an unclean woman, basically, because she didn't need to be clean. Her anatomical design was made just for that purpose. For the fact that God needed to become flesh. Now let's talk about that for a minute. God had already made us in his spiritual image from the word go. From Genesis 1:26, let us make man in our image, after our likeness. So we bore the image of God from that point forward. So why do we think it's strange if God now took on our image? He made us in his image, and he breathed into Adam's nostrils the breath of life, and he became a living soul. And then when the devil contaminated it with sin, God already had a door that he could come in, that he called Eve, the mother of all living, that I can bring forth my son when the fullness of time has come, and that he will bear the sins of all of them. How will he do that? He will give his life as a ransom for all their sins. He came in, he walked perfectly before God because God was his father. His whole heart was set on pleasing his father his whole life. He went to the cross, was wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquity. In other words, chastised for our peace. God allowed his wrath to be poured out on his own son. And now he had taken on humanity. And therefore he bled, he wept, he cried, he slept. He did everything you and I did as he walked that perfect life. And then he gave his life on the cross to allow himself to take the penalty that all the human family deserves. God poured his wrath entirely upon his son in order to be able to give you and I perfect salvation. And so that's what we see on the cross. We always talk about from the cradle to the cross. Jesus was born into the world. He was God's only begotten son. Adam is called the son of God in Luke chapter 3, the last verse. If you take a look there in chapter 3 in Luke, it'll say Adam the son of God, last verse. But Adam was a created son of God. Jesus is the only begotten son of God. That's because he came through the woman's womb into the world with a body of flesh. He was begotten by God the Holy Spirit, and he came in order to give his life a ransom for as many as believe in him. The Bible says as many as believe in him shall receive eternal life. Eternal life is a relationship with God. I always like to explain that. It's not an amount of time. All life is eternal in that sense. People in hell are going to be there eternally in that sense. But the people who are saved are going to be those who have trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ, and they have a working daily relationship with him. John 17:3 says, "This is life eternal, that they may know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent." So it has to do with knowing God, having a relationship with God. And God wants every human being to have that relationship with him. And the Bible says, "Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. For that which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the spirit is spirit." Now you see it again, flesh and spirit. The invisible side and the physical side, the human side, we would say, of salvation. So God didn't just promise and speak words which are invisible that he would do this. He fleshed out the promise.
Yes, he did.
He became flesh and dwelt among us, it says in John 1:14.
Yes.
See that it was not just a word in eternity that was with God, that was God, but the word became flesh, John 1:14
says. That's right.
And dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory. He tabernacled in a human body in order to give his life as a ransom for all your sin. So if you're here today and you have never understood that about Christmas, I hope you understand it today.
Yes.
God loves you just like you are.
Yes, he does.
No matter what you have done, he has paid the debt. He poured his wrath on his son, Jesus Christ, in order not to have to pour it on me. I'm thankful about that. Because otherwise, I could never be clean.
Never.
So a lot of people probably go, "Well, you of all people, how could you possibly be preaching?" I see some got some good witnesses here today who probably are in astonishment. Boy, they're not you. Not the kind of person you've been. But the fact of the matter is, it doesn't make any difference how you have been. God will accept you just like you are. If you trust in the name of his son. That's his gift to you. He provided you with the gift so that you can know for sure that your account is settled in full. Jesus paid it all, as the song says, "All to him I owe." Sin had left a crimson stain, but he washed it as white as snow. Amen. So this is what I want to say as I close. I want you to understand, now this is some deep stuff that theologians have talked about through the years, but I think it's beautiful if you understand a little bit about it. They call it the hypostatic union. You've heard me say that before. This is when the divinity of God mixed or bonded to the humanity of man once and for all.
Yes.
You see that? And God always required a mediator between him and the people once sin came into the world. When there was no sin, God and man dwelt together in perfect harmony. That's why it says Adam and Eve walked with God in the garden in the cool of the day. You see, after the sin, God separated. And so it was not until the Christ was born in Bethlehem of Judea, according to Micah the prophet, and all the prophecy that had been spoken by all the prophets up to that time, that God fused with mankind in the flesh once again.
Yes.
And that time was called the hypostatic union. This is when flesh and spirit bonded together once and for all for the purpose of purchasing us back, to redeem us back to God, so that God and man can dwell in perfect harmony. You see? And that happened and it'll never be undone. That's the beauty of it. It's done once and for all. Just fusion together once and for all, God and man. And he wanted you to know that it's possible. Because Jesus paid the debt, he took the penalty for all the sin, and when all that had been done, that didn't kill him. He didn't die because they wounded him, they beat him, they spat on him, they pierced him, they pressed a crown of thorns into his head. They had done all that. He had enough bacteria, he could have died from infection, a staph infection, and went into shock on the cross after they had marched him around the way they did and mutilated him the way they did. They did all that. And when it was all done, the last thing he said, "It is finished." And he was still alive.
Yes, he was.
Then he commanded his spirit to leave his body. "Father, into thy hands I commit my spirit."
My Lord. And
by that act alone, God was satisfied. He received an untainted, unblemished spirit with no sin.
Yes.
And so that corrected the fault that Adam had introduced. And he didn't do it for himself, because he said, "No man taketh my life from me.
My Lord,
but I lay it down that I might take it up again."
Yes,
he did it for you.
Yes.
Thank you, Jesus.
And he did it for me.
Thank you.
So if you understand the cross, you know God did that for you.
Yes.
And then when they laid Jesus in the grave after he had dismissed his spirit, since he had no sin, the grave couldn't keep him. No way I can keep you, because there's no sin. What death, we just use this as a metaphor. Of course, this isn't in the word. Death had been given a license. Anybody who sinned, just grab them by their sin and pull them down. That's it. And everybody who's seeing, how many people you see get back up after they go to the grave? I haven't seen any. So it reached for Jesus, no sin. So Jesus rose after 3 days and nights. Got up with all power in his hand. He paid the debt for our sins, and whosoever believes in him will not perish, but will have everlasting life. Amen. So that is basically a brief summary on the human side of salvation. The Bible says without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sin. Now, you know, when Adam and Eve sinned, they covered themselves with fig leaves. The word says, which was the work of their own hands. But God, it says in Genesis 3:21, slew an animal and covered them with skins, it says. And basically their blood was shed and there was death.
That's right.
For the remission of sin. So God was showing that same gospel that I just explained to you from the very beginning.
Yes.
He slayed the animal, covered them, and allowed them to live on.
My Lord.
So the gospel has never changed.
Never.
It's been the same. And it will never change. It is the only gospel that God has given. And whosoever believes in the name of Jesus Christ, the proclamation says, shall not be put to shame.
Yes.
So I hope if you're here today and you have not understood Christmas in this way,
yes,
that you will accept Christ to be your personal Savior.
Amen.
Right now. That you will invite him into your heart. The Bible says, except a man be born from above, that's what it literally says in John 3, he cannot see the kingdom of God. For that which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the spirit is spirit. See that? So now we need a spiritual birth. Our bodies now as they are, if we are not saved or dead in our trespasses and sin, according to Ephesians 2:2. But God wants to make you alive. He wants to have you have a personal hypostatic union with the Holy Spirit. He wants the Holy Spirit to come and dwell in you and bond with you once and for all forever to assure you of your salvation, to bring you into the kingdom of heaven.
Yes.
Amen. So if you're here today, we don't want to put a load on you, but we do want to make sure you understand that God loves you just like you are.
Yes.
We're going to stand and invite you today to accept Christ as your personal Savior if you have not done that. You know, I look at all the stuff I went through in my own life, and I know that God was there protecting me in my ignorance. There were so many times I was completely ignorant of these things. And I see all the dangerous kind of stuff I involved myself in life. And God kept me through it all. If you're here today, that's true of you. I don't even know what you've been through or what you've been doing. But I do know if you're here, God kept you no matter what you've been through. And that he loves you exactly the way you are. So if you would like to make that proclamation today, let this be the greatest Christmas you've ever had, that you receive God's gift, we're going to invite you to raise your hand right where you are. Just raise your hand if you are in need of salvation. We want you to know that God loves you and he has made a way for you already. The gift is there. It's a matter of you receiving it. You must receive it. The Bible says, as many as received him, to them he gave the right to be called the sons of God, even those that believe on his name. So if you're here today, we would like to invite you to receive the gift of God. The Bible says that those who believe should be baptized in his name. If you have not been baptized and you would like us to initiate you into the church family, which is the human side of salvation, the church is the body of Christ. We would like to do that for you at whenever you desire. Amen. So we'd like to sing a song at this time and invite you to come if you're here. Afraid to raise your hand.